Well, hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson, and you're listening to Family Talk, a listener-supported ministry. In fact, thank you so much for being part of that support for James Dobson Family Institute.
Well, welcome back to Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. You know, the world can seem pretty chaotic at times, can't it? The news headlines covering floods and fires, division and new unthinkable challenges that must be overcome. Some would say that we are actually living in the end times. Well, if you've listened to Family Talk over the past couple of days, you've heard about an ancient calendar that can help us make sense of some of the events that are currently unfolding right before our eyes. Our guest today here on the program, once again, is Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. He has explored some of these happenings alongside some intriguing biblical connections with our co-host, Dr. Tim Clinton. Rabbi Kahn is a longtime friend of Dr. Dobson and a Family Talk. He's the president of Hope of the World Ministries and serves as the senior pastor and messianic rabbi of the Jerusalem Center, Beth Israel, in New Jersey. Jonathan Kahn is a best-selling author, a renowned international speaker, and he and his wife Renata have been blessed with three sons. Let's listen now to the conclusion of this powerful three-part conversation featuring Rabbi Jonathan Kahn and our co-host, Dr. Tim Clinton, right here, right now, on Family Talk.
Could a 3,000-year-old calendar of appointed days provide the secret to the most dramatic year of our lives? Even ordaining a plague, a national lockdown, days of fire, and the changing of the Supreme Court? And more. Well, that's what we're going to talk more about today on the broadcast as we welcome back Jonathan Kahn, Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, talking about his new book, The Josiah Manifesto, The Ancient Mystery and Guide for the End Times. Jonathan, welcome back. Thank you for joining us.
A joy to be back.
Hey, we've had an amazing conversation the last couple of days, but hey, for those who maybe they're just joining us for the first time right now, can you give them a recap what the Josiah Manifesto reveals?
Yeah, this is really opening up something that I believe the Lord has for such a time as this for us. And that is that what if he was speaking to us in what was happening? If the Lord was giving us a message, an answer, a blueprint for how to live, how to really prevail in the days ahead, what's coming, and also what is happening before us? What have we just gone through? What if there's a very big mystery to it, that the God of the Bible is so real, he's behind all these things, and that there are ancient mysteries that are actually determining what is happening, when it happens, where it happens, and when I say when it happens, down to the dates, and in some cases, down to the exact second. I believe on this program, we're actually going to see how really precise this is. And then all these mysteries are going to open up a key to what we need to know for the days ahead. That is what the Josiah Manifesto, in a nutshell, is going to open up.
In a lot of ways, Jonathan, you write about events that shook America. And they were actually foretold or appointed, if you will, by an ancient calendar of sorts, starting with COVID, et cetera. But I want you to tell us about that. But before we go there, we wrapped up the broadcast yesterday talking about children of the Nile. And you were connecting some points for us here as we were really looking at abortion and the reversal some 50 years in that year of Jubilee.
Yeah, well, there's a principle in the Bible that actually the very first war against children or babies was in Egypt. Mass war to basically, the Bible says they were throwing the Hebrew boys, the babies, into the Nile. They were killing the children. First one that we know of in history. And yet there was one child born in the slaughter, in the midst of it, who was this Levite baby who would be called Moshe or Moses. And he actually floats down the Nile in a basket, as we all know. And he is taken in by the princess of Egypt and ends up becoming the one who then overturns the entire power of Egypt that was trying to kill the children. It's interesting. I don't usually mention this, but interesting because when you look at the plagues of Egypt, the first one is the Nile turns to blood. Well, the Nile is where the blood of the children were. So it's kind of like coming back. And then the last plague is the death of the Egyptian sons, just like they killed the Hebrew sons, except for the blood of the lamb. So therefore, it's all coming home. So Moses is the one. So now, could there be in America, could there this mystery actually unfold that a child born among the initial slaughter of children could actually be key in overturning the breaking, the power, the system, the institution that actually has killed children that could have killed her? Well, the answer is there is. And it's no accident that a child was born. It was a girl, and she was born right in that three-year window when abortion was coming into America until it would become Roe versus Wade. She was born literally when Roe versus Wade was in the Supreme Court. When she was born, it was exactly in between the two hearings of Roe versus Wade. Her name would be Amy Coney Barrett, and she would grow up to actually go to the Supreme Court. She's the first Supreme Court justice that was born under the days when it was legal to kill children. She's the first Supreme Court justice who could have been killed as a baby. And so she is the one who is going to get, and by the way, when does she go to the Supreme Court? In 2020, the year of jubilee of abortion, as we saw again and again. Who is the one who nominates her? The Jehu Trump, who we saw was a Jehu, who actually pulls down the Temple of Baal, which was killing children. So, and she was the third one. Now, she was the most crucial because, you know, people don't realize Roe versus Wade was overturned by one vote, and it was her vote. She was the last one to get in just before his term ended. So she gets in that time. Now, when she votes, she casts her crucial vote to overturn Roe versus Wade. She does so in her year of jubilee. It is her 50th year, her year of jubilee. She casts the vote. And then when actually Roe versus Wade is overturned, which is after, she's 50 years old at the time. No accident. She's nominated in the year of abortion's jubilee. She casts the vote in her jubilee. And then we didn't even say this. When Roe versus Wade is overturned, the mystery goes back to Leviticus, because Leviticus says you will count 7 times 7 years, which is 49 years. Then comes the 50th year of Jubilee. Now, people don't always realize this. When you have your 50th birthday, you have ended, you've finished your 50th year. So the year of Jubilee begins when it turns 49. The 50th year is that year. And then when you turn 50, you've ended it, you've closed it. So actually, the year of Jubilee for Roe versus Wade began on January 22nd, 2022. It ended January 22nd, 2023. Roe versus Wade is overturned right in the middle of it, according to Leviticus 25, in its own year of Jubilee. And by the one who cast the vote, now 50 years old.
What was fascinating too, Jonathan, as you continue to, quote, unpack this, the return fell on one of the 10 days of awe, is what you talked about. Days of repentance, if you will, are what we are crying out for, that we need in our nation. But Jonathan, here you connect some dots to also to President Trump. And there's a timing thing there that's fascinating. And the days of the trumpets, if you will.
Yes.
How does that all piece together?
Yeah, well, here is there's an ancient calendar in the Bible. It's in Leviticus 23. And God gives all the appointed days, in Hebrew they're called Moadim, mean the appointed times or the holy days of Israel. Well, the amazing thing in that crucial year, now listen, the Jubilee is already an appointed time. That 2020 is the beginning of this three-year period of Jubilee, of the Jubilee of everything here. But it begins in that year, America is shaken and shaken and shaken, starting with this pandemic, then with the riots, and then with everything else. And so the amazing thing, Tim, is that behind every shaking or every change was this ancient calendar. I'll give you an example. The first holy day in the Bible, in the Hebrew year, is Passover. And Passover is, and now think about this, Passover, what is it about? It's the only holy day that is actually about a plague. It's about a plague passing through the land and on the night of Passover. So the thing is, in 2020, it comes at the beginning of April. And the thing is that when it comes, it's like the plague is at the entrance. It's just everything has fallen on America. It's fallen on New York, where actually there are more Passovers going on. And so think about it. At that time of Passover, Jewish people are in their homes and they're all telling the story of a plague passing through the land when there actually is a plague passing through the land. In fact, In Israel, they on the night of Passover, they because of COVID, they told everybody, there's a curfew, you have to stay in your house until morning, which is, it's only the second time in the history of Israel that this happened, and it was on Passover. The other thing is, what also is Passover? Passover is also the first time there was a national lockdown. The people, an entire nation, is told by their leaders, you got to go into lockdown because a plague is passing through your land. Well, so now on the Feast of Passover, literally, where not only it's the plague is happening, but also the lockdown's happening. So it's all manifesting. And, you know, interesting, I don't usually say this, but I'm throwing this in. And that is that we have a nation and a culture and a world that has largely been turning away from its faith in the Bible. And Jesus is the Passover Lamb. Our faith that we have is a Passover faith. He died on Passover. We were saved on Passover. He's the Passover Lamb. So now a world that's turned away from Passover, the Passover Lamb, is now finding itself in need of the Passover Lamb with a plague passing through the land.
Amazing. Jonathan, in the midst of it, you also begin to connect points here between Jehu and the bringing down of Baal and the broken altars, if you will. What does that mean to us? What's the significance?
Well, let me fill something in that'll go right there, but to fill in that, it didn't stop with Passover, because the next appointed holy day is Pentecost. And the next feast of Israel, Shavuot or Pentecost. What's that about? It's about the fire of God. The fire comes down. It's about the tongues of fire, the baptism of fire. So what is the next shaking of America? What happens in the late spring, early summer, we have a baptism of fire on our cities. It explodes in riots from George Floyd, from what happened. By the way, it was the most massive civil disorder we've ever had in our country. And so the cities are on fire. Not only that, though, on the date of May 28th, when the Jewish people are lighting candles to begin Shavuot or Pentecost, that's the very day that the fire of the riots explode across America on the actual date. And that weekend, the Christians are celebrating the fire of the Spirit while the land is being shaken by fire across the cities. So that's just the second one. But now this is going to move to where we are. And that is that then the next one is the Feast of Trumpets. And so the Feast of Trumpets happens in September. And on the Feast of Trumpets, the thing about it is, Jewish people, it's called Yom HaDin, which means the Day of Judgment, because they believe, it's linked to judgment in the Bible, but they believe that God, you know, in the heavenly court, the high court, he passes judgment on the, you know, the righteous and the unrighteous. So you got to get it together. It's a time of repentance. You got to get it right with God. And so it's all about the high court and it's about the judge. Well, when the Feast of Trumpets comes in 2020, all of a sudden, all eyes are turned to the High Court of America and to a judge, because that was September 18th, Friday. On the day of the Feast of Trumpets, the judge, the Supreme Court judge, Ruth Ginsburg, passes from the earth. It actually says that God decrees on that day who passes from the earth. So here, all our eyes are turned to the Court of America. And now the thing is, it was only because that seat opened up that abortion, that Roe versus Wade could have been overturned. If that didn't happen, it happened on the Feast of Trumpets. And you know what the Feast of Trumpets also is? It's a time when Jewish people also, the other time they pray, God, overturn the evil of the decree. They're all praying for that. And the act happens that's going to open up for the overturning of Roe versus Wade on the very day of the Holy Day. And it begins at sunset. It was right after sunset that the Supreme Court announced that seat had opened up. And that's what's going to set in motion the turning of America, the turning of Roe versus Wade. And the thing is, the Feast of Trumpets is the beginning of the days of awe, which is the days of repentance, of turning from your evil. So it's that very day that opened up the turning of America's evil.
Jonathan, there are no coincidences with God. He is at work. Jonathan, take us to what you identify, how you connect Josiah and the issue of the broken altar as a sign of hope and also a warning to us all.
Yeah, when I heard the news, you know, that Roe versus Wade was overturned, I was struck by a few things. One is, there's someone in the Bible named Phinehas, and the Bible says that Israel sinned, a plague came on the land, then Phinehas took a righteous action, and the plague subsided, the plague turned away. So I wondered at that moment, could this all be linked together? And that is that it turns out, I'll just quickly say this because this goes to the broken altar, and that is that it turns out, you know, when the Supreme Court actually voted on this, it was actually December and January, Samuel Alito wrote that decision that turned back abortion, that turned back Roe versus Wade. Well, just when he finished that decision that was good, that's turning back Roe versus Wade, if you look at the plague was at its peak, actually. It was three times higher than it had ever been in January 2022. Three times higher than ever. It was going to keep going. But right after he finishes that decision, the plague within weeks plunges to 1/8 of where it was and never comes back. Never comes back and as it comes. And so when I looked at this biblically, Roe versus Wade was an altar, because an altar in the Bible, you know, this is where we have killed over 60 million children. Yes. This is an altar. What we have witnessed, and this was not the hand of man, except it's God answering the prayer, because even the Supreme Court justice who wrote the decision, you know what his name is? His name is Samuel. 50 years, people are praying for this to happen. Samuel means God has heard. God has heard. This is the hand of God. So God, when I wrote the Josiah Manifesto, this was the key, because in fact, on the day that Roe versus Wade was overturned, that's when God said, okay, I've never known the next book that early. He said, this is the book you have to write, because I saw a broken altar. That's why on the cover of the book, there's a broken altar. And that is because abortion is this altar that God has broken. Now, what does that mean? This is one of the most important signs in the Bible, because when an altar is broken, it was a sign of repentance. It was a sign of potential revival. You know that back then, the sign of revival wasn't a gospel crusade tent, which is great, but it was when they repented, they broke the altars. They were saying, we're turning back to God. So, and the broken altar, more than any other person, points to one man in the Bible, and that man is Josiah. Josiah's birth was prophesied over the sign of the broken altar. Josiah would break the altars. Josiah was a righteous man. Josiah lived in a time. This is what opens up the last part of the book, is literally the manifesto of Josiah, what we need to do. Because in the days of Josiah, they were offering up their children. In the days of Josiah, they were engaging in sexual immorality. In the days of Josiah, they were confusing gender. They actually had a God, they confused gender, male and female. We're living under the exact time, you know, and so what it means is, on one hand, there's a warning that the time is late. Josiah was born into an evil time. His father was evil. His grandfather was evil. Everybody, most of the culture was evil. Yet he said, I don't care. I'm going to stand for God. And so this is one man literally changed the course of Israel for an entire generation. Judgment was coming, but God said, I'm going to hold the entire judgment off of the nation because of this one man. And I believe God is saying, we have to be like Josiah now. Because, you know, Josiah lived in a late time. It was near judgment. We are at a late time with America, but there was revival. And so there's never an end to what, you know, God is never finished. So there is a purpose for us, and we are still to be lights to this world, to this nation, and our job is still ahead of us. That is what the Josiah Manifesto is saying. Not only how to stand when everything looks so dark, how to overcome, how to prevail, and how to actually be a light to change your world.
Jonathan, I read these words, though, in your book. What will happen? It all depends on what the nation does with the chance it has been given. This is the moment. And by the way, the nation is really about her people.
Yes.
It's each and every one of us. I remember being in a meeting, Jonathan, with Dr. Dobson, religious leaders, evangelical leaders from all over the country. And I remember, as he began the conversation, tears began to well up in his eyes. And he said, we needed to pray that the church would awaken and take her rightful place. He said, until then, parachurch organizations have to stand in the gap, but the power's not there. The power's in the church. It's in the people of God. And Jonathan, I know as I read through, you were saying, listen, this is a time to stand courageously and not follow the ways of the world. Do not allow that, even in our own very homes and more. Jonathan, what do you say to us as we wrap up 3 days here? I mean, the heart of the message of the Josiah Manifesto is deeply personal now.
Yeah, listen, you know, we said it's kind of coming full circle. I believe, this can be the greatest time for his people. You know, the thing is that as the dark has gotten darker, this is the time for Josiah. This is the time for Elijah's. This is the time for the book of Acts. You know, all of these things took place in dark times. This could be our greatest hour, but we have to not compromise. As you said, we do not bow down. God has given us power to, in every age and every circumstance, to overcome. The days of being cultural Christians are over. Josiah was radical. It's time to become radical. He was revolutionary. It's time to be revolutionary again. It is time to become that. And it is true that it only takes one person or one generation or one group of people who are totally sold out to God to change the course of their nation or their world.
There's something there, too. He called for the Passover. It wasn't just about overturning the altars. You wrote, it's about overturning their hearts.
Yes.
That they would be filled with radical love and praise and let the joy of the Lord. That's why Josiah himself went to Bethel to follow the will of God. Our prayer, I think, Jonathan, after 3 days, is that God would raise up a Josiah.
Yes.
A spirit of Josiah among his people. And that we would be radical for such a time as this to wholly follow after the Lord with our heart, soul, and mind. Jonathan, thank you for the gift you've given to us in this Josiah Manifesto. I want to give you the last word again, and please also tell us again where we can find this new book, the Josiah Manifesto.
The Josiah Manifesto is literally just came out. It's literally everywhere, wherever there are books, wherever you get books from, online, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, anywhere there are books. But I pray that you get it not just for yourself, but also for people who need to hear it beyond that. Tim, it's always a joy and an honor. I'm totally with you. That is our prayer, that at this Josiah moment, God would raise up Josiahs and the spirit that inhabited Josiah would come to us and we would be the generation we were called to be. He was destined and we were born for such a time as this.
Jonathan, before we go, I have seen and I've heard you pray to God with fire, passion, and conviction that only you have. And I wanted to ask you to close our broadcast today by praying. I once heard Shirley Dobson say, there's no hope unless we submit ourselves in an absolute state of humility before God as we seek his grace and peace. So Jonathan, would you mind praying for us, our nation? Pray for our listeners.
Absolutely. Let's all join together, everybody listening. Lord, we just come before you, and Lord, we ask, Father, whatever it takes, Lord, bring revival on this land, Lord. We ask, Father, first touch us. We ask revival upon the church, Lord, a revival upon the pastors, Lord. Father, a revival upon us, Lord. We turn from anything we need to turn from, any idol, any altar, any sin, Lord, to live all out for you, Lord, as Josiah lived, Lord. We want to be that, Father. So, Lord, we commit ourselves to, Lord, our own revival, Lord, to live in fire, the fire of your spirit, to live all out for you, Lord. And Lord, we pray now, Lord, touch our nation, touch our capital, Father, touch our government, Father, Lord, touch our children, Lord. We ask revival upon the children, revival upon the youth, revival upon the schools, Lord, revival upon the cities, Lord. We ask, Father, whatever it takes, Lord, let your grace and your power be upon this nation, Lord. Let this city on a hill, Father, that was called America, shine again with the light of the fire of the glory of the living God. In the name above every name, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, our hope, our light, and the only hope America has. In his holy name, amen.
Amen.
Well, what a beautiful and bold prayer. You know, as we conclude today's edition of Family Talk, I'm reminded of something Dr. Dobson has said many times before. This is a critical time for prayer by people of faith, and indeed it is. Friend, you just heard the conclusion of a powerful three-part conversation with Rabbi Jonathan Kahn and our co-host Dr. Tim Clinton here on Family Talk. Now, if you missed any part of the conversation, or if you'd like to hear it again, you can do so easily by visiting our website at drjamesdobson.org/Family Talk. That's drjamesdobson.org/Family Talk. You know, raising boys and girls can be a difficult assignment, especially these days when the culture is literally battling with parents for the hearts and minds of their own kids. but this can be more challenging if your son or daughter is strong-willed and defiant. Now, if one or more of these independent youngsters or adolescents just happens to be living in your home, you know how difficult parenting and family life can be. But fortunately, there is hope. Here at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, we want to walk alongside you as a parent during these important developmental years, especially with strong-willed kids. So why not consider signing up for our new 10-day email series based on Dr. Dobson's best-selling book, The New Strong-Willed Child. The series is designed to encourage and equip you to wisely lead your kids through even the toughest of trials. Now, signing up is easy. All you have to do is visit drjamesdobson.org/strongwilledchild and submit your email address. Again, you sign up at drjamesdobson.org/strongwilledchild. I'm Roger Marsh. Hope you found today's episode of Family Talk to be encouraging. And from all of us here at the JDFI, have a great weekend, and thank you for making us a part of your day.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.